The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Grace Curley Show. It is 2 o'clock on Thursday. I swear, I don't know how we got here. We just started the show, and now it's 2 o'clock. But we have a lot to get to in this last hour. If you are just tuning in and this is the first you're hearing of the news of the day, I should let you know that Hunter Biden's attorneys put out a letter. They are seeking a probe, a criminal probe into people like the laptop repair shop owner and others who disseminated the what we thought at the time was Russian disinformation. That's what I was told by some of my betters in the media. But they disseminated this laptop, and now Hunter's trying to get on the offensive and basically say, you can't investigate me. I'm investigating you. How do you like it? And of course, in order to do this, they kind of had to admit that the laptop is real. And now they're trying to walk that back. It's just, it's too good. You know, you got to appreciate it. Also happening right now in D.C., we have a lot of Democrats, particularly squad members, who are very upset that Ilhan Omar has been ousted from her committee, her respective committee. Now, I want to play this for you because this was the reaction from the Democrats when they found this out. This is cut 18, please, Matt. This is Democrats finding out about Ilhan Omar being removed.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those in favor say no.
No.
It's the opinion of the chair that the ayes have it and the resolution is agreed to. And without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. Gentleman from Mississippi is recognized.
They're all sounding stable per usual. Nothing unhinged about that. You know what that's giving me, Matt? Matt's cracking up over here. You know what that's giving me? That's giving me that meme people have of the liberal when she found out that Hillary had lost. No! And I just want to point out here, we're going to take a trip down memory lane and fill you all in on why Ilhan Omar is being removed from this committee. And it's because she said several offensive things about Jewish people over the last decade. And now she's playing dumb. She's saying, like, I didn't know that there were tropes about Jews and money and just really, really weak stuff, even for a Democrat. But what I find amusing is that AOC and Rashida Tlaib, they're melting down on the House floor about this. And this is what happens when you change the rules. Democrats wanted to remove Republicans from their committees because they didn't like them or they didn't agree with them or they didn't like what they had tweeted out. And Kevin McCarthy warned everybody. He said, this is a bad precedent to set. We will be doing the same thing. When it's my turn, when I hold the gavel, we will do the same thing to you. It's not like they didn't have a warning. He made it crystal clear. This is going to come back to bite you. In the words of Mitch McConnell, might come back sooner than you think. And so now it's happening, and they are outraged. So forget the fact that this is what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You want to kick our people off committees. You want to kick Republicans off committees. We'll kick Democrats off committees. But how about the fact that she just deserves to be kicked off the committee? The woman has said more anti-Semitic things in the last 10 years than any other. I can't think of a member of Congress who could beat her. And I'll give you some examples, okay? So she, at one point, she likened the U.S. and Israel to Hamas and the Taliban. That was one thing. She also, and hold on here because I have two separate articles. Fox ran it down pretty good. In 2012, she claimed that Israel had hypnotized the world and added, this is part of it that gets forgotten a lot. She added, may Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. She also responded to a tweet posted by Glenn Greenwald in 2019, where Glenn said that Representative Kevin McCarthy was targeting Omar and Rashida Tlaib for their criticisms of Israel. Omar's response, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. So there's been several examples of this blatant anti-Semitism. And so now she thinks if she goes on CNN and she says, I didn't know that those were tropes, you know, or if Pelosi says she has a different experience in the meaning of words, that that's good enough. And it's like, well, maybe that would have been good enough if Democrats hadn't been kicking Republicans off House committees for things they didn't like. But alas, it is not to be. Here we are. So I want you to hear these meltdowns. Let's first start, Matt. I think I'm going to go first with Rashida Tlaib. This is Cut 16. This is the congresswoman from Michigan. Cut 16.
Congresswoman Omar, in the same week, they introduced a bill to ban federal employees from engaging in censorship. Where are the free speech warriors today? The hypocrisy is obvious to the American people. You are showing who you all are, really.
The gentlewoman's time has expired.
I will not be silenced.
The gentlewoman's time has expired.
To Congressman Omar, I am so sorry, sis, that our country is failing you today through this chamber. You belong in that committee.
The gentlewoman is no longer recognized, and the gentleman from Mississippi is recognized.
Y'all, I don't drop a y'all often, but I'm going to drop a y'all right now. Y'all, we got to rein it in. This is getting out of hand. This is starting to feel to me like theater. It's feeling like theater. And you know what I'll say right now? You know what I'm going to say? And this is how crazy politics is. I start off the show today playing all these cuts. If you missed the Ron Klain cuts, I really enjoyed that hour. So make sure you go back and listen to the podcast, gracecurlyshow.com, wherever you find your podcast. But I started this kind of roasting Ron Klain for blubbering up at the podium. Actually, can I have a little bit of it, Matt? I want to have cut one, please. This is Ron Klain, and I'm going to tie this back together here in a sec. This is Ron Klain on his farewell.
I learned everything I know about how to be a good father from Joe Biden. He is the best father I know and the best role model I know. And along the way, he's taught me a thing or two about politics and policy as well.
All right, now, I was a little harsh. Some people said I wasn't harsh enough. I said, "That's you can't be doing that. You got to get it together." But here's what I'll say about Ron in his defense. Do I think those were real tears? Absolutely. Do I think he was trying his best to bury that and get through that speech? You could tell he was fighting the sobs. With Rashida Tlaib, it's a force. When she says, I'm sorry, sis, you deserve, and then she just starts screaming. You know, when people are yelling, especially if there's a microphone, I've been accused of this myself, as many of you are probably aware of. My first reaction is always like, why are you yelling?
Why are you yelling at me?
It's Vince Vaughn at Wedding Crashers. Why are you yelling? We're all adults here. We're figuring something out. It feels very, dare I say, juvenile. And since we're going to talk about throwing hissy fits, we should probably play Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, another member of the squad who never misses an opportunity to make everything about her. This is Cut 17.
As a fellow New Yorker, I think one of the things that we should talk about here is also one of the disgusting legacies after 9/11 has been the targeting and racism against Muslim Americans throughout the United States of America. And this is an extension of that legacy. Consistency, there is nothing consistent with the Republican Party's continued attack except for the racism and incitement of violence against women of color in this body. I had a member of the Republican caucus threaten my life, and you all and the Republican caucus rewarded him with one of the most prestigious committee assignments in this Congress. Don't tell me this is about consistency. Don't tell me that this is about a condemnation of anti-Semitic remarks. when you have a member of the Republican caucus who has talked about Jewish space lasers and an entire amount of tropes and also elevated her to some of the highest committee assignments in this body. This is about targeting women of color in the United States of America. Don't tell me, because I didn't get a single apology.
Time has expired.
My life was threatened. Thank you.
You know what? I'm happy for these members of the squad because their goal is obviously to go viral. Their goal is obviously to go viral on Instagram Reels for people, maybe on TikTok, for people to start reposting it. And that's all I hear. I just hear people who want to go viral. And that's, you know what? That's a huge part of 2023. It's the world we live in. People aren't talking to actually send a message. They're not talking to actually, you know, figure anything out. They're just hearing themselves talk so that someone clips it and they go viral. And it's probably going to happen for Rashida Tlaib and AOC. I think AOC has a better shot. Hers seemed a little bit more cohesive than AOC's. I'm sorry, than Rashida Tlaib's. Rashida Tlaib's was a little bit all over the map. So if I had to choose, if I was a gambling woman, I would say AOC's probably going to go more viral than Rashida Tlaib.
AOC looked like she was in a rap battle or doing slam poetry. Just the way, like the movements with her arms.
A lot of gesticulation. You know what I want to add in here, though, is that where was this energy for Jewish people? Like, we have this energy now. She's being attacked because she's a woman of color, according to the members of the squad. But when she was saying these things about Israel hypnotizing the world, or it's all about the Benjamins, or, you know, all of these horrible things, nobody had this enthusiasm. Nobody had this passion. Nobody had this outrage for her remarks. It was all just pushed under the rug. So pardon me if I don't buy it. Pardon me if I call BS on this nonsense. 844-500-4242. We will take more of your calls. We will play the Martha Stewart video, that the commercial everybody wants to talk about. I've been seeing a lot of these commercials for the vaccine and for the booster, and I'm noticing a trend. I'm going to fill you guys in on what I've been noticing. I don't watch a lot of TV. I do watch a lot of TV. I don't watch a lot of TV where you have to watch commercials. Humble brag. But when I do, and I see these local commercials, they're all kind of the same, and I'll explain why. You've asked, you've waited, and now it's here. For 1 week only, the best-selling Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO sale is on. Winter is also here, which means doors and windows are shut. Therefore, odors are at their worst. Buy one and get one Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier free so you can take care of cooking, tobacco, and pet odors. This offer is for 1 week only. Many listeners, including Officer Mark, Dr. Matt Vivette, and Paul Rizzo, they all rave about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. And most of the time what people do, they buy an Eden Pure Thunderstorm, and then they want to buy another one, then they want to buy another one, they want to have one in their car, they want to have one in their kitchen, one in their bedroom. And I understand why, because it has so many different uses. If you've got kitchen cooking smells, if you've got dry desert air in your bedroom, if you've got allergies in your car, you just plug this in and it fixes it all. Plus, it's small, it's lightweight, it's very easy to use. I've had mine for a long time. But what I want to tell people is, you're going to buy one, you're going to want another. So this is a really good time if you want to test it out, because it's BOGO. You're buying one and you're getting one free. Take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer today before it expires. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use discount code GRACE. You can ask anybody who's bought one of these. They'll tell you how well the Eden Pure Thunderstorm works. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code GRACE. That's discount code GRACE. Shipping is free. We will be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. You probably recognize her from the thing.
Of your acting?
Yeah.
In the kitchen cooking?
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
Yeah. There's no boat. There's no kitchen.
You never cooked chicken Alfredo with a friend?
No.
This is the... Who is it again? Grace Curley Show.
I've been teasing this Martha Stewart commercial. We got people who want to talk about it on the lines. I haven't seen it IRL in real life, but I have seen it on some conservative outlets. And Matt has been building it up. Now, Matt's on the board today, so this one's all on you, man. If this doesn't go well, then you are to be blamed for it. So let's, I'm kidding, of course. Let's play this cut. This is Martha Stewart. She is promoting the boosters. I want to set this up a little bit. She's sharpening a sword to cut a pineapple in this Pfizer commercial. Now, we should make note, from what I could see based off the description of the sound cut, Matt, does not appear that she starts talking about infecting monkeys with the virus. At no point does she... Okay, just wanted to double check. So this is Martha Stewart. Let's play it. This is cut 8.
You know that unwelcome guest everyone wishes would just leave already? That's COVID-19. That's why I got the new updated booster, designed to help protect against recent Omicron variants.
He's cutting the pineapple. And then she shows off her arm and it says, got booster, or got Pfizer, or got vaccine or something.
I think it's a little blue Band-Aid, but yeah.
Sure, whatever. Okay, so here's what I want to say about this. People are texting in, and if you want to text in, it's 617-213-1066. People are texting in and saying, Martha Stewart looks really good in those commercials. Rawr. The woman looks unbelievable for her age. No one is disputing that. She's a very attractive woman. My thing is, why? Like, why do we need Martha Stewart to tell us? She wants to tell me what kind of napkins I should put on the table. She wants to tell me what kind of centerpiece, how many lemons go in the centerpiece. Maybe you want 12. 13, that's fine. But what I put into my body, unless Martha got some sort of medical degree when she was in the clinic, I don't really know why I care what Martha Stewart thinks about the Pfizer vaccine. Maybe people disagree. Let's go to Ryan. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ryan.
Good afternoon, Grace. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
One of the things I found really interesting about that commercial is, when have you seen a commercial for a medicine or a vaccine that doesn't list the warnings at the end of the commercial?
That is an excellent point. And actually, Ryan, a lot of people, including DC Drano, who's a popular follow for a lot of conservatives, said the same thing. He said, aren't big pharma commercials legally required to list all the may cause myocarditis side effects at the end and say, check with your doctor? So I don't know. I don't have the answer on that, Ryan. But here's what I've been noticing, okay, about these commercials. I saw one the other day. And they all kind of go like this. There'll be two people talking. Sometimes it's women. And one of them will say, you know, where are you coming from? Oh, I just got my booster. Just got my booster. By the way, I was made to do one of these commercials because this is the kind of acting that I can wrap my head around. I've been out of the game for a while, but I think I could do this. Where have you been? Oh, I'm just coming back from getting my booster. And then person A always says, oh, yeah, I don't think I'm going to get that. Person B says, I wasn't going to get it either. But then I heard blah, 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 blah. Read a little bit of talking points from Pfizer or from Moderna, whatever they are. And now I decided I am. Then the other person says, oh, wow, I didn't realize that. Maybe I should get my booster too. Yeah, definitely. And you know, you can get yours at blah, 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 blah. Just go to this website. Super easy. All right, I got to run. And they just feel they're all like that. They're packaged in different ways, but it's all one person who's supposed to, I guess, be like the credulous boomer. One person who's supposed to be like me. I'm supposed to relate to person A, who's saying, I don't think I need that. And then person B is the woke savior who shows up and says, no, you stupid idiot. You should be getting a booster. And here's why. And then what's nice is the end. Everyone's happy. Everyone's getting boosted and everyone's happy. Just something I notice. Well, go ahead, Matt. Don't say anything that's going to get yourself in trouble.
I'm not. I mean, I've never seen a commercial for a vaccine before. I mean,
before this, you mean?
Before this, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when has there been a flu vaccine commercial?
I haven't seen one either. I will say this, though. I just got an email, just got a text message, actually, not an email, from my local pharmacy telling me that the flu is prevalent in my area and I should consider getting a flu shot. So I do think that this heavy push on getting people vaccinated for whatever it might be is not just limited to these. Although, I mean, not every vaccine is getting the Martha Stewart treatment. But, I mean, what can you expect? 844-500-4242. When we come back, I want to talk about working from home and whether or not it's going to save the environment. We'll take your calls on it. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Dropped a groundhog at the Staten Island Zoo's annual Groundhog Day ceremony in February, and the Wall Street Journal was there. The animal squirmed out of the mayor's grip in front of dozens of shocked school children. A week later, the rodent died of internal injuries, according to zookeepers.
All right. I've had enough of the Wall Street Journal take on it. Can we actually just play the original sound cut of de Blasio dropping the groundhog? Because the screams of horror really do add a lot of layers to this sound cut. Can I get cut 12, please, this flashback? Yeah, that was 2014, but people don't forget, Bill. People do not forget. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Enjoy spring on the Cape with April rates at just $179.99 a night, which is really incredible for anywhere, but especially for Cape Cod. Or you can schedule now to have your summer trip set with breakfast included, Memorial Day through September 20th. Book online now at nausetbeachinn.com. Matt, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Do you believe the groundhog's prediction of six more weeks of winter will be right? Yes, the groundhog's right, or no, fake news?
Well, I am worried, of course, that the groundhogs are colluding with Russia in one way or another, or, you know, pushing Russian bot farms on Twitter or on Facebook. That is a constant fear of mine when dealing with these. Are they rodents? Would you call them rodents?
Yeah, they're probably rodents.
But I'm going to say, yeah, in this case, with this prediction, the groundhog's going to be right just because it's always the safe bet. You know, like, we're in New England, we're going to get six more weeks of winter. We're going to get probably 16 more weeks. Like, if they were saying, are we going to get 12 more weeks of winter, and then the groundhog had to decide, I would say, okay, there's some risk here. But otherwise, you're better off just saying, The groundhog's better off always saying yes to six more weeks. I know it depends on the shadow. I don't know what part of it. I never know how it works, if it sees its shadow, if it doesn't. But I do agree with the groundhog, not because I think the groundhog has special powers, but because I'm not an idiot and I live in New England. So yeah, I do agree. That's a long-winded way of saying yes.
55% say no, fake news.
They think, you guys think there's not going to be six more weeks of winter. It's going to be like negative 15 this weekend. You think we're heading towards warmer days in the next 6 weeks? I like your optimism.
I just think, like me, they probably think the groundhog should be fired. Get a new animal.
And maybe they think because the groundhog has such a bad rate of getting this right, that they're better off just voting against it.
Yeah, if you were like a coach in any professional sports, like, you'd be fired if you had a 40%, or it would be like a 400% win percentage.
Yeah, no,
you'd
I
be
agree.
Gone.
Wow, you are really coming at these groundhogs. You know, speaking of animals, you had said, oh, well, Grace, why don't we just put another animal in? I don't want to do that. I don't want to take away the music for these groundhogs. It's the only thing they have going on. Okay, it's the only thing they're living for. Or in some cases, if they meet Bill de Blasio, not living for. But what I will say is this. I was listening to Taylor yesterday. He was filling in for Howie in the 6 o'clock, and he started to have this conversation about how he was going to buy a chicken, or he was going to buy chickens. Chickens. And maybe then he could have his own eggs, and he wouldn't have to go to the store. There is this thing happening right now. It's called eggflation, and eggs are so expensive. They're like double or triple the price in some places. And this got me thinking. I had said to my husband at one point, I said, if we ever have a yard that's big enough and you want to have chickens, I'd be down with that because I love a good egg, and there I do think there's a big difference. You get an egg from your backyard, it's going to taste delicious. Go ahead. You're dying to play this, aren't you? Do you have the chicken cut? Matt's looking at me. If you want to play the chicken cut,
chickens.
You're always welcome to play the chicken cut. My only problem is, and this is what I told Will, I said, if you get the chickens, I'm on board, but I will be afraid to go near them. Because you got to go into the hutch thing, right, Matt? Like, you got to go in.
Coop?
The coop, thank you. Hey, I say a lot of words for 3 hours. I get one every show.
You got to go into a gorgeous hutch and get all the eggs.
You got to go in there with them, though. And I just think, I don't know if it's a bird thing with me. They're so unpredictable. And they've got those, you know, heads that just kind of come at you. And those beaks and those claws. Like, I have chills right now thinking about it. I would never pick up a chicken and it would all fall on him. And that I don't think is fair. But yeah. I'm too afraid of birds. I will admit it. It's one of my fears.
I think you could take a chicken, though. Like, they're what? Like, not even a foot tall?
It's not about taking it. Like, we're going to be, you know, in a boxing ring. It's about, do I want to lift one up? I'd be afraid it'd start pecking at me. I think what would happen was I'd be like Bill de Blasio. I'd drop it. You know what I mean? I'd get all nervous and I'd drop it. I do think chickens are a little bit more resilient than groundhogs, but it doesn't change the fact that it would mostly fall on his shoulders. Now, I will say this. This is just one other thing before I get into my last big story of the day. I am one of those people that I go back and forth on what kind of egg I like. Sometimes I go scrambled for months. Sometimes I go over easy for months. And I just wanted to give people a heads up. This is just something about me. I am in a stage now where I'm a soft-boiled girl. And I know that for some people, that's going to gross you out. I like a soft-boiled egg. I think it adds, you can have it with a salad. You can have it with a piece of toast. You really can. It's very versatile. Would you agree? If you have an egg you want to promote here, go ahead.
I don't have an egg. I mean, I think eggs in general are just versatile. I'll eat any kind of egg. I mean, they all taste the same.
You don't have one preference? Like, you go to a diner and they say, how do you like your eggs? You just say, "What?" However?
Just surprise me.
You say surprise me at a diner?
Yeah.
Oh, you are. Okay. You know what? I just want to tell everybody, forget everything Matt said about the groundhog because he's clearly, something's going on with him right now. Let's go to, I knew this was going to happen. We talk about chickens. We talk about groundhogs. The lines light up. Let's go to Charlie. Go ahead, Charlie. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on?
Grace, thanks for taking my call. Big fan.
Thank you, sir.
All good. I'm your buddy from Nantucket. I check in every now and again. But out here on Nantucket, here in New England, we have Quentin the Quahog. And he squirts left to right to indicate which way we're going for 6 more weeks or, you know, 12 more weeks. I'm not sure which way he squirted today, but I think they said it was going to be spring before long. So you have to check out Quentin the Quahog.
Oh, really? I love a good quahog. I mean, to eat. But that's interesting that they're using. Okay, so if he goes right or left. You know what I'm wondering, though? If all of these groundhogs and quahogs and all of these different things. I'm confused. Do I have the right animal? I'm thinking of a different animal, I think. If they're all coming up with their own prediction, do we have one that, are we all just going with Punxsutawney Phil? Because I'd like to know which Massachusetts groundhog, what our groundhog came up with.
I think, you know, we have a study. We'll spend a lot of money on a study to see which one does right over the next 10 years.
Honestly, it wouldn't be the biggest waste. And when you think about these other studies, that would probably be a good use of our taxpayer money. Tom, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, Grace?
Yes.
What? Hello?
Yes, you're on. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say about the chickens, I'm sure everybody. The ones that lay the most eggs and the best eggs are also the meanest. So you have to watch out for that. But, yeah, they're vicious, vicious animals. Although, if you have them, it's good for your garden, too, because it helps your vegetables fruit.
Vicious, vicious animals. See, that for me is all I need to hear. Like, I don't want to be in there, crouched down, trying to pick one of these things up and have it go haywire on me, have it get feisty, have it get nasty. All I can think about is I was watching Seinfeld the other day and he got a rooster Kramer got a rooster, and then he ends up, you know, little Jerry putting him in the cockfights. And it was one of my favorite, it's one of my favorite Kramer lines of all time. Jerry says, do you know what the cockfights are? And he goes, yeah, yeah. He goes, they get really mean. They get hurt. He goes, what do you mean? They don't have little helmets and little gloves? Like, he really thought they were going to suit them up like they were in the pros. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that my instinct here to not get a chicken is good. What did Taylor say? He's really leaning towards it?
Yeah, but he also may have said that he won't be there when they need to be taken care of or get the eggs. He might be passing the duties.
That's the problem. See, you don't want, it's like getting a dog. Everybody wants to get the dog, but nobody wants to take the dog out. Ron Klain did say he will be taking his dog out every day for the next 2 years. So that's good news. You never know what's going to get people to call in. Now I've got everybody on the lines guessing they want to talk about chickens or eggs, and we will take your call, so stay right there. But I just wanted to throw this in here because we talk a lot about global warming on this show. We talked about the whales today, and I saw a story about how the Biden administration is floating a new idea, a new strategy to address climate change. Don't leave your house. So because during the pandemic, everyone had to do telework, you know, everyone had to work from home, WFH. You heard a lot of people saying like, well, the one silver lining is that emissions aren't up. Everything's down. You know, a lot of people aren't driving and they're not commuting. And so the Biden administration wants to promote that. And so it says the plan aims to eliminate nearly all greenhouse gas emissions from the transportation sector by, do you want to guess a date here, Matt? Do you want to guess a year?
2026?
No, too ambitious. 2050, mostly through a transition to electric vehicles. But it says, here's the part of it that really struck me. It said, telework and other components of a digital economy can improve convenience, convenience by reducing travel demand, especially for work commuting. The COVID-19 pandemic has highlighted major opportunities for telework. Now, my question when I read that is, have you guys checked in with, I don't know, real estate companies that own a lot of buildings in the city? Have you checked in with bodegas that need people to go into the financial district? Have you checked in with, you know, the salad shops that are dependent on people during the rush hour at lunch coming out of their offices? Like, yeah, you might reduce emissions by 2050 or 2072 or whenever, but what about all of the businesses that rely on this? What about the businesses that rely on people going into work and actually living their lives? It does have a trickle-down effect. All of this stuff is connected. During the pandemic, it wasn't just that the office buildings were empty. It was that the people who depended on those office workers to come support their businesses were left in the lurch too. And we're still seeing the effects of it. Because no, none of these companies are really back full steam, at least not most of them. And so to encourage this and say it's better if everyone sit home in their pajamas and everybody, you know, make their own lunches and just sit at home and don't take the train and don't take your car and don't take your bike and just stay there. There's a lot of other industries that are going to suffer in the name of climate change. And I don't hear anyone really discussing it. It says the plan goes on to identify remote access to services like healthcare and education as one of the key determinants of future travel demand. It at least highlighted major opportunities, this is from Free Beacon, to reduce travel demand and lower carbon emissions through remote work and virtual interactions. Does anyone think, and you know, I have a friend who's younger, she's Gen Z, and she worked from home throughout the pandemic. And I know it's not the same for everybody. We've had callers who weigh in and say, you know, my wife worked from home. It was great for her. You know, she could do all the same things. And maybe if you're older, but there's a lot of young people who need a schedule, who need a routine, who need to interact with other human beings, who need to get out of the house and put on real pants. And I don't think this idea of, well, it's good for the environment. Yeah, but is it good for people? Is it good for society? That's the question we should be asking ourselves. I'm not so sure it is. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Curley Show. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. The FBI will be searching Mike Pence's home and his office for classified documents. He told them a while ago. He's, you know, I just kept thinking of that quote, I can't get arrested in this town. He wants a little attention here. He wants somebody to search his home and nobody's paying attention. But finally, they will be searching Mike Pence's house for documents. Whose house aren't they searching is the real question. Joining us now is Howard Lawrence Carr. Howie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
Howie, there's a breaking news story about one of your favorite politicians, obviously from Massachusetts, John Kerry, and his secret CCP negotiations are being probed by the GOP oversight chairman. Now, I've been very impressed thus far with Comer and the oversight committee, and this just makes me even more eager to see what they come up with.
Yeah, I think it'll be a dry hole as far as getting him in the clink. He violated the Logan Act. They were so obsessed with Trump and the Logan Act and Michael Flynn. But, he was still in the Navy when he went to the Paris peace talks in, I think, 1970 or 71 to end the Vietnam War. And, you know, he's just there as a he's not just a civilian. He's in the military, you know, and he's trying to negotiate with the Viet Cong. So how and the North Vietnamese. So how are they going to get him now? I mean, he's got immunity. He's a Democrat.
For me, though, it's not even about getting him. I just think that certain people like John Kerry and Alejandro Mayorkas, they never have to answer questions. Like, they go to these conferences, they talk a lot, they talk about how wonderful they are. But I'd love to see John Kerry in front of a microphone getting grilled for a couple hours.
Yeah, no, he doesn't do well in front of a microphone, as we all know. I mean, he didn't do well on the campaign trail back in 2004. You know, you're talking to the biggest cheesehead in America, and, can I get me a hunting license here, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, no, there's tons of examples of it. Howie, another thing I wanted to ask you about, because you talked about this a lot on your show over the last couple of months, the FDA, and this is from Breitbart, they obviously had a massive failing when it came to the formula crisis, and nobody's been fired. So Elise Stefanik has been discussing this, Representative Elise Stefanik, and she's just saying no one's been held accountable. This is kind of the way that it works, though, with when Democrats are in charge. Nobody's fired for a baby formula shortage.
Well, I talked to a guy last summer who used to own a huge baby formula company, and he said it was just the abject incompetence of the FDA administrators and just about everybody in the federal bureaucracy. They don't know anything. They got like two or three cans that had problems. They didn't even know what had caused the problems, and they shut down this place in, I think it was Michigan, this factory that produced 40% of the baby formula in the United States. I mean, they don't consider any of the consequences of the things they do.
And nobody gets held accountable for that, where it's like a third world country and nobody gets held accountable. Howie Carr is coming up next. He's got a great show planned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back tomorrow.